Turkey, Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! It is finally airtime. It's the 21st day of June 2016. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And that's where you go if you want to jump into the chat room, as is always the case, or almost always the case. If you want to jump into the chat room and carry on a conversation, participate in the madcap merriment, the zany multimedia real-time extravaganza that is the Horn chat room during the 3 hours the program is live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, Monday through Friday. You know, barring things like mind-bending thunderstorms, which seem to have been here and passed. I put out a warning earlier this afternoon saying that if the program was not live, that would be the reason. I mean, it's not often we get tornado warnings in West Virginia, but there was one down in the Kanawha Valley, and that meant that portended some Jim Dandy thunderstorms, which did in fact arrive here. And man, they made some music on the metal roof of the Kincaid Mansion here. It sounded like the gods were tap dancing on the roof of the Horn Gulfstream 5 hangar. Yes, it did. Yeah. Oh, hi. I'm Bob Kincaid, and yeah, we're here. Yeah, this is Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and if you wander over to the chat room, you will be in the wonderful company, the scintillating company, the conversationally glib company of Anatole and Hoghead and Jules and Laborman and Little Gray and V.T. Blom and Will in Chicago. More to come, I am sure. All capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who apparently is enjoying another blazing day in Northern California because even though he is a third-stage guild navigator, he has declined to fold space and become man cave. Yes. So that's the hi gang, hi chat room. Now, of course, I should note that we are a listener supported operation, and thanks to our overnight subscribers. Well, I mean, they're not overnight subscribers. It's just that's when the subscriptions come in. One fell off. Sorry, but thanks to our overnight subscribers, we met Chris in Germany's birthday challenge. And so all we've got to do tonight is raise the usual $200. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 1250, and 32 at 6 and a quarter, and 64 at $3.13. You'll pardon me for rounding up from 12 and a half cents. It's just PayPal can't quite cope with that. They're not down to being able to transfer funds in the third digit to the right of the decimal point just yet. But give them a chance. Thank you very kindly. Laborman pointing out Lima Charlie on White Rose. Good, 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 good. So that is, it seems that everything is working as we as we hoped in the way of broadcasting out to the interweb tubes. And Brother Deacon Asa points out, you're live 5x5 on my Tandy 1000 via TuneIn, Brother Bob. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. Brother Deacon Asa has a long and venerable, a large and venerable collection of ancient computing devices. One of these days he's going to tell me that that I'm 5x5 on his Parcheesi board, and I will believe him. Yeah, 5x5 on my cribbage board, Bob. Yeah. So, if you want to help us keep the program going, just go over to the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com and fill out the requisite spaces. You don't have to fill out the one about, about what you do and where you do it. Just get to the next screen. That's where you decide whether you're going to use your MasterCard, your Visa, your Discover card, your American Express, or, in fact, your PayPal account. And on the primary screen, if you would like to become a monthly subscriber, we're still trying to get to 100 monthly subscribers at $10 a piece. We're not there. We're down one as of today, just because one transfer didn't go through. But that's how it works. Just click the box that says make this a monthly, a recurring monthly contribution, and you will be a monthly subscriber of the Horn. So thank you to all of our subscribers. You are a huge help. And one of these days, maybe we'll actually have the whole 400 that we're looking for here. But until then, we will soldier on. No, we won't soldier on. We'll just continue and hope that eventually we get to 100. Okay, so like I said, it is Titanic Tuesday. You might recall that Titanic Tuesday is a day that is reserved for those really full steam ahead toward the iceberg moments in right-wing intellectual processing. The term dates back in history to a time long ago, back when there was live right-wing radio programming in the morning in America's fifth smallest radio market, Beckley, West Virginia, when one of the knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing faithful called up the morning right-wing monotone and said, Steve, how come you reckon it is that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Because we ain't nowheres near the beach. To which the morning monotone, Steve, responded, who is not a member of the Trinity of Steve, damn it, responded, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. No word yet. No word yet on the movement of the Titanic asbestos disc that you set hot Dutch ovens on the table. No word at all. So that's where the term comes from, and that's where the history of Moran Monday or of Titanic Tuesday, which follows Moran Monday, comes from. And so, Titanic intellect is what we celebrate here. Let's start, shall we? Out in Missouri, Stan, where they've got a Republican senator by the name of Roy Blunt. Now, Roy Blunt Roy Blewett is a big one for he's a good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, amosexual, fundamentalist, repig-licking. And he's a big one for waving the flag and wrapping himself in the flag and waving the bloody shirt. And he's got opposition in November. Now, being as how I don't follow Missouri politics that particularly closely, and maybe Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, can fill us in a little bit. But one would think his Senate seat was safe. I mean, it is, after all, Missouri stand. But Jason Kander, K-A-N-D-E-R, Jason Kander is opposing him in the November election. And somewhere in the bowels of Roy Blunt's office, I think it's in the Russell Senate office building, the prettiest of the three Senate office buildings, also the oldest. Whoever's in charge of Roy Blunt's Twitter decided to take a dig at Jason Kander. Jason Kander, by the way, is at present the Secretary of State of Missouri. So Blunt's Twitter said, despite Fort Hood, Boston, and Orlando, at Jason Kander won't acknowledge the root of threats we face, radical Islam. Because everybody has to see, it's like Beetlejuice. If everybody would just say radical Islam, ISIS would scream bruga 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 and run away. That's what had happened, sure. And it's just because the Muslim sympathizers won't say radical Islam that we have things like the Orlando massacre at the Pulse nightclub. Didn't have nothing to do with ease of access to a weapon or the fact that the guy might have been a horribly conflicted, closeted homosexual, tormented by his fundamentalist religious upbringing. No. It's because you, damn it, you, and all of you in the chat room, and everybody with you, all you damn progressives and liberals and me, and won't say radical Islam. Why? Why do you hate America? Why won't you say it? Damn. So, now is not the time to push a political agenda. In 2005, Jason Kander's radical left-wing group, the Heartland Democrats of America, for America, well, they claimed all kinds of stuff. In 2011, Kander voiced concern about state legislation that would have banned Missouri courts from making decisions based on radical Sharia law. He was offended when a former terrorist described Sharia law as a disease. The country cannot afford another liberal senator who'll be weak on our borders and more apt to blame our constitutional rights instead of the real enemy, radical Islamic terrorists. That's and the heading of this smear site says Jason Kander is running, but what is he hiding from Missouri voters? Well, given the fact that he said these things in public, I would say the answer to that question is nothing. And given the fact that he's been elected Secretary of State in Missouri, Stan, I'm guessing he's not much in the way of a liberal. You probably nothing at all in the way of a liberal, because, see, you can't get elected dog catcher, to use the stereotype, in Missouri, Stan, unless you got you some God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual family values. But this is a Titanic Tuesday nomination, so you know there's more to it than meets the eye. And there is. So after Roy Blunt Moe, at Roy Blunt Moe, tweeted, despite Fort Hood, Boston, and Orlando, at Jason Kander won't acknowledge the root or threat of threats we face radical Islam. Well, it turns out that if anybody is hiding or trying to hide anything from voters in Missouri, it was, imagine that, son of a gun, how these things work out that way. It was Roy Blunt, because it took until 2015, yes, in, you know, last year, all the way from like 1969, it took till 2015 for Roy Blunt Moe's office to sort of get around to mentioning the fact that Roy was a college student in the late 1960s, and he got himself 3 deferments from the Vietnam draft. Yeah, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. Unus, duo, tres, Latin. 3 deferments to keep him from having to go and defend his country against the threat from the VC and prevent that Vietnamese domino from falling and causing dominoes to fall all over Southeast Asia. 3. Didn't admit it. His office didn't admit it until 2015. So that would be 15 plus. That's like 45 plus years of trying to hide that from people. So, because it's Titanic Tuesday, Jason Kander also knows how to work the Twitter machine. And he tweeted back, I volunteered to serve in Afghanistan to fight radical Islamic terrorism. Think before you tweet. Whew. That had to sting. And see, Jason Kander didn't even go for the easy one. A man with 3 deferments from the draft in Vietnam ought not criticize anybody for it. Right, exactly. So, okay, courtesy of Brother Usher Steve in New York, let's try this, everybody, all at once. No more conservatism. Didn't work. Beetlejuice. Yeah, I don't think that's going to get it done either. Meanwhile, another member of the Trinity of Steve writes under the subject line, seduction. Do we need music for this? Wow, 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 wow. No. When things are going fairly well, when the people can see their financial security reflected in the checkbook balance, when the foreclosure isn't something engineered into the subprime mortgage, when the pension is there, or the public schools seem to be offering something like education, and when one's relative peace of mind isn't shattered by the prospect of confronting armed cowards whose idea of peace is lawlessness. When these things are true, America is a pretty cool place to be. Much of what makes us work as a nation is intimately connected with the pursuit, the casualness of something like a watered-down version of genuine citizenship or civic involvement. We are the one you love to be like, at least on holiday. But soon enough, the magic wears off, the hangover keeps hanging on. Sometimes you're up, some other times you're down. Great American minds have been taking stock of this simple fact forever. Last night's Last Hour was an excellent summary of this, touching as it did on the rotten core of the apple. You can't analyze forever. Just admire the final disaster. Brief lifespans, short memory. We can't fail but to see the pattern as the whole cloth it always is. Thus we slog through the truly dark times, practically all that keeps the wolves at bay and ourselves from becoming the wolves is a bit of predictable creature comfort, the occasional 4th of July, a little plot of land before we must fall into the plot itself. Our founding myth, you know, is the one concerning just how free and brave and square-dealing we have always been. Maybe. But that's a thing of the schoolhouse. The only pre-history we actually possess. It is a thing of enlightenment, parchment, noble sentiment, law. Mostly, though, it is that promise of and to our children. It is conspicuously absent. And our children, made ignorant of the fact, made uniform, conformist, quieted. Our saving virtue used to be the diversity of the myth itself, its unruliness. Now, even that is pale, insipid doctrine. Regards, Steve, in China. True and poetically so. And so on this Titanic Tuesday, let us proceed eastward, because the I-70 that runs through Missouristan runs through southwest Pennsylvania as well, just a little ways south of Pittsburgh in the township of Washington, PA. Yeah. And there in Pittsburgh, you might recall a story from latter part, the waning days of the winter. The winter of our discontent. You know, you can't say winter without winter of our discontent. It's impossible. For it was in March. It was March the 9th that a shooting took place in Pittsburgh. And the community was justifiably upset about it, as you might well imagine. And not only was the community upset about it, but longtime Pittsburgh television news anchor Wendy Bell was upset about it. If you are a regular and nightly listener to the program, you might even remember us talking about this. She took to Facebook and published the following. You needn't be a criminal profiler to draw a mental sketch of the killers who broke so many hearts. They are young black men, likely in their teens or in their early 20s. They have multiple siblings from multiple fathers, and their mothers work multiple jobs. These boys have been in the system before. They've grown up there. They know the police. They've been arrested. Now, bear in mind, she said this without knowing a blessed thing about the actual perpetrators of the crime. She just got her little racism racer out and zipped around the media market on it. Well, the management of WTAE TV is not the federal government and thus is under no obligation whatsoever to afford, and was not under any obligation whatsoever to afford, Wendy Bell what we like to refer to as freedom of speech, because the First Amendment applies only to government. And so, WTAE let Wendy Bell go, because WTAE, her employer, deemed the words that she had put on Facebook, quote, inconsistent with the company's ethics and journalistic standards. Which they were well within their right to do, it would seem. Well, it would seem that way to everybody but Wendy Bell, who, of course, went out and lawyered up. Meanwhile, in the aftermath of her remarks, the Pittsburgh Black Media Federation said, the irresponsible statements demonstrate a persistent problem with how African Americans are negatively stereotyped by too many journalists and news organizations. WTAE management had a meeting with leaders of the black community in Pittsburgh, which kind of goes way back, being as how Pittsburgh's just about maybe 60 miles north of the Mason-Dixie line. There was a vibrant free black community in Pittsburgh for a number of years. It largely functioned separate from white Pittsburgh. And so perhaps, you know, perhaps the fact that the remnants of that community yet exist was why they sat down with the management and they didn't even ask for Wendy Bell to be canned. The TV station sacked her on their own initiative, but Wendy Bell has lawyered up. And she's filed a lawsuit against WTAE in the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Pennsylvania, alleging that her civil rights had been violated. The pettifogger she hired typed, had Ms. Bell written the same comments about white criminal suspects, or had her race not been white, WTAE would not have fired her, much less disciplined her. Yeah, she's claiming reverse racism. I'll bet she votes Republican, don't you? Because she's the kind of person who, by her own words, insists on people taking personal responsibility. But when she opens her mouth and jams one foot in and then gets busy trying to get the other one in there with it. Oh, no, 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 that's somebody else's fault. Because, see, Wendy Bell and her pettifogger allege that WTAE had a black anchor once who made lewd comments to interns. And they had a male anchor who got arrested for propositioning an undercover police officer. Yeah. And that feller wasn't even disciplined at all. Funny. Neither one of those seem to have involved blanket statements absent any data whatsoever. Broad generalizations without the benefit of any facts about an entire group of people. But nonetheless, Wendy Bell is a victim. Poor Wendy. All she was doing was this political correctness is a killing our country. It is. It's a killing it. What has happened to Merca? The greatest country in the history of the world, forever, today, in the universe, under God. Right. Exactly, Arthur. The civil right of a privileged white woman to have a job without any requirements of proper conduct whatsoever. WTAE will, of course, probably settle out of court for an undisclosed amount, and they will, of course, include a non-disclosure agreement whereby nobody's going to talk about how much she got paid to go away. No, Arthur, sorry, it isn't. Arthur asking, isn't reverse racism when black folk are taken back to Africa and repaid with 400 years of free white labor? No. That's not it at all. So we got that going for us this evening on Titanic Tuesday. And then there's Florida. Florida. Home to 69-year-old Howard Sparber. S-P-A-R-B-E-R. And he apparently went to some sort of gated community called The Villages, Florida. Because at The Villages, Florida, lived a woman with whom he, 69-year-old Howard Sparber, maintained ambitions of having sex. Yeah. But, and Howard Sparber had apparently been making overtures for having said sex with the woman since November of 2015. So, having gone nowhere with with his amorous pursuits, 69-year-old Howard Sparber decided to demonstrate how much he really desired the said woman who shall remain nameless. That's when he went to the Villages, Florida, with his trusty Sig Sauer 9mm semi-automatic handgun, with two magazines, one carrying 15 rounds and the other with a 20-round capacity, and proceeded to freedom protect the woman's door numerous times. No, really. He fired rounds through the front door. He fired rounds into the kitchen cabinetry. And when the Sumter County Sheriff's deputies arrived at the Villages, Florida, 69-year-old Howard Sparber, love struck, love sick, was found still holding his Sig Sauer 9mm semi-automatic handgun as he waited for his Juliet to come out and declare her love for him, her Romeo. Damages are estimated at around $3,000, and the woman in question was not home. She had previously told law enforcement that she feared for her life after he pointed his gun of love at her on another occasion. So this time through, 69-year-old Howard Sparber was charged with armed burglary, aggravated stalking, shooting into a dwelling, and criminal mischief. Word, he is out. Yeah, really. Because freedom. Wolverines! Naturally. One doesn't know how long it took 69-year-old Howard Sparber to purchase his Sig Sauer 9mm handgun. But we know that at least in one case, an individual was able to go into a gun store in the Orlando area and purchase himself a brand new spiffy AR-15, Roque Planus and his associate Andy Campbell went shopping for an AR-15, and when they found the place they were going to buy it, they started the timer. And even though the guy making the purchase did not have any Florida identification, he had a Washington driver's license, he was able to go into the store and in 38 minutes, he was able to complete his purchase of a firearm with the firepower, as long as it is properly equipped, to murder 49 people and maim 53 more. Just like the Sig Sauer MCX that was used at the Pulse nightclub. Here's the punchline. As he spoke to the employee inside the gun store, our intrepid reporter noted that had it been a normal day, it only takes about 5 to 10 minutes to complete one's semi-automatic rifle purchase. But, as the gun store employee noted, every time there's one of these shootings, people get paranoid that our laws are going to change. And so, therefore, sales of the weapons go through the roof. Also in the gun store, a photograph of Barack Hussein Obama, President of the United States, with the legend on the photograph, Firearms Salesman of the Year. That's just funny. See, because he's going to take all our guns, and so people are buying lots of guns in case he tries to come and take it. You know, Molon Lave, melon wash it. I don't know why they would talk about, every time they talk about taking guns away, they talk about scrubbing down a cantaloupe, but it's hard to say. Out there is some freedom. Because you know what? When you're in a hurry to get a semi-automatic assault rifle, I mean, when somebody needs killing lickety-split, you don't want to have to dawdle around filling out paperwork. I mean, when somebody needs to get dead in a hurry, you want to go in, buy your gun, fill up the magazine with your rounds, pop it in there, and go and take care of business. Right? Sure. I mean, that just makes sense. Yeah, by the way, any guesses early on as to how Mr. Sparber votes? Because I feel quite comfortable thinking that the guy who pumped a whole bunch of 9mm pistol rounds through a woman's condo door, I'm guessing he doesn't have one of those "I'm with her" stickers or pins or bumper stickers or t-shirts or ball caps or what have you. Pretty sure he doesn't have any Feel the Burn merch either. No. In fact, in point of fact, I'm guessing that'd be one of the folks who may very well deliver the state of Florida for the Mar-a-Lago Mussolini. Or is that unfair? Is it unfair to assume that just because somebody takes his pistol and goes and shoots up a woman's home because she won't make sexy time with him, that he's probably a right-wing Republican deeply invested in the idea of patriarchy? Yeah, me neither. So we got that. And Marty points out, with regard to Mr. Sparber, I take it that since there's no charge of terrorism, this guy's he is of a shall we say lighter skin tone. Oh, you know it, absolutely. Well, I mean, you can take it from the fact that he was arrested and not shot dead on the spot, but he was of a lighter skin tone. Or at least I kind of take it that way, but I had a photograph, so. But it did kind of make me wonder. Because, you know, the Sumter County sheriff's deputies roll up, and generally police don't deal well, and by well, I mean they don't take kindly to people just sort of discharging a weapon into, or at least they're not supposed to, last I checked, discharging a weapon into somebody's home. Well, maybe if they'd heard a woman screaming or something, or gurgling her last breath, maybe they would have taken defensive action then. Or maybe being 69 years old, maybe Mr. Sparber is just highly authoritarian. I mean, he's a right winger after all. We're pretty sure of that. And so maybe when they got out of their cars and got their guns and you know, but they didn't shoot him dead inside of 2 seconds, you know, like the police did with the. Oh, God, I can never mind. But maybe he just responds well to authority. Stop! In the name of the law! Okay. Put the gun on the ground and step away and lie down on the pavement. I come to think of it, I could use a nap. I wonder if he got tased or thumped or batoned or... just a little, the piquancy of a little bit of pepper spray. Because there was nothing in there about that. Nothing at all. Yep. Now, of course, that's just one of your average gun owners. The head gun owner of America is, as Malloy calls him, Wayne the Peter. And because he's a very serious person, the CBS television network invited him on Face the Nation. Wait, I think we... Face the Nation! Really does add quite a bit of gravitas to it all, doesn't it? To discuss, you know, freedom and Wolverines and such like. And why it is that them sissy liberals is trying to take away Merkin's rights to protect themselves. He very much reminds me of a guy in search of a Thorazine dart in the neck. He just kind of needs to calm down a little bit. But by God... He wants you to know, and this was before the great big filibuster show, he wants you to know that Merca is under attack. But it ain't got nothing to do with our right to keep them armed bears.
We're back with the Executive Vice President and CEO of the National Rifle Association, Wayne LaPierre. Welcome. Let me start back where we were with Donald Trump on this question of anybody wants to purchase a gun who happens to be on one of these federal lists. Is there any space between you and Donald Trump, and what worries you about legislation on that?
Let me set it in context in terms of what I think we're facing this past week. I mean, we all mourn for what happened, John, but we faced a terrorist challenge where they're on the verge of overwhelming us.
I could sure hear the mourning in his voice, couldn't you? I mean, of course we all mourn. We mourn. Said it with about the same tone of voice as, of course, we all hate it when we get a cold cup of coffee. Of course we all mourn, but it's that second line that lets you know that there really is a mental health intervention badly needed.
Ben, what worries you about legislation on that?
Let me set it in context in terms of what I think we're facing this past week. I mean, we all mourn for what happened, John, but we faced a terrorist challenge where they're on the verge of overwhelming us.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. We face a terrorist challenge where they are on the verge of overwhelming us. One presumes by us, he means we, the people of the United States, you know, out there plodding along, trying to create that more perfect union. Right? They're overwhelming us. Or on the verge of it. This leads me to really think we need to redefine that on the verge of. And particularly verge. Because if we're on the verge of them overwhelming us, wouldn't one rather expect there to be a whole lots of ISIS hooting and hollering tursts just all over the place? Because there kind of aren't. And even though I guess we're taking it as read that Omar Mateen really was a sure enough, no kidding, ISIS terrorist, hollering aloha snack bar and whatnot, there is that problematic little idea that he pledged allegiance to Hezbollah and ISIS at the same time, who are bitterly engaged in trying to get at each other's throats, creating a bit of, shall we say, cognitive dissonance. It is equally viable to note that perhaps he was trying to cover up for his closeted gayness so that his daddy would not say, I had a homosexual son. But that doesn't work because all Wayne the Peter has, and one presumes it's a very small Peter, all he has is fear. If he can't terrorize America into doing the bidding of the National Rifle Association, he can't succeed. And the fact that he uses terror to try to get his political way is heart and soul of why it is that it turns out that Wayne the Peter is a terrorist. He is the terrorist. His organization is the organization that has, not on the verge of, but has overwhelmed us. He can strike fear into the hearts of wealthy, wealthy men and women who are supposed to be the more mature of the two legislative bodies that make up our bicameral legislature. Because he has the power to make them stop having their cushy, phony baloney jobs anymore. Harumph. I'm utterly convinced, as I have said, that the National Rifle Association is the largest, most powerful, most well-funded terrorist organization in the world. Matt in San Francisco with a note, subject line, a missing voice. On that edition of Mace the Nation, there was the NRA, Feinstein from the Senate, a national security person, but not one voice from the gay community. I can't tell you, Matt says, how angry that makes me. First they shoot us, then they rewrite us out of the story so they can frame it to their liking. Fuck them. Signed, Matt, in San Francisco. Brother Deacon Asa says, with all due respect to Brother Malloy, I believe the correct term to address that shit weasel is Wayne Little Peter, hence the need for the various and sundry penis extensions. I am not willing to seek empirical proof of that, Brother Deacon Asa. If that's one you want to take for the team, the job is yours. From time to time, we use the cute little phrase, this is why we can't have nice things. Well, this is why we can't have nice lives. This is why a 22-year-old man who just wanted to go and dance at Latin night doesn't get to become a 23-year-old man. This is why perhaps a couple of guys who first looked into each other's eyes under the strobe lights and the glitter of the mirror ball, this is why they will never develop a warm and loving relationship and perhaps even get married. Wayne LaPierre. That's the reality. And this man is so full of wild-eyed paranoia that if he were anyone but the NRA, we might tend to say, I think his mental health is in question. But because he is the head of a vastly powerful terrorist organization, we don't do that. Because one of his followers might kill us. Because rights. So Matt in San Francisco, I agree. Leaving a gay person off that panel was egregious in the extreme. But you know what? Generally, they'll tell you when they book you. They'll say, yeah, we're going to have you and Dianne Feinstein on. Another national security commentator. And we thought we'd have somebody from the gay community. At which point, Wayne LaPierre will say, well, screw you. I'm not coming on because I'm afraid of the gay guy. And I can't win in that discussion. And then the booker will say, oh, really? That's a problem for you? Okay, we'll cancel the gay guy. Because, Mr. LaPierre, it's very important to us at Face the Nation that you be very, very comfortable talking about this very serious issue that no one in the fucking world should be listening to you about. But we're the for-profit media. And there's a lot of money in it for us if we can just keep the controversy nice and ginned up. And that is how that works. So let's go ahead and get a good bite of the hockey puck and see what else Wayne the Peter, possibly microscopically small, has to say.
What happened is the president, the whole gun ban movement said, hey, don't look at terrorists. Look over here. Divert your attention. Take your eyes off the problem because they don't want to face the embarrassment of their failure in this terrorist area and they want to cover their butts and not talk about it. You can't save the country with politics.
Oh, you can't save the country with politics. What the does that even mean? You can't save the country with politics. You know what? Politics has saved some several tens of thousands of Americans by passage of the Affordable Care Act, which included the Medicaid expansion, which provided health care to working poor people in the states where it was allowed to take effect. That was politics. And yeah. But let's not challenge him on that. No. I mean, he's got points to make. Yeah, by the way, Brother Deacon Asa said he would gladly take one for the team. Regretfully, he can't afford a microscope powerful enough. Yeah, those it's a lot harder to get a scanning electron microscope, Brother Deacon Asa, than it is to get an AR-15 or an MCX or a you know. But did you notice the mention of this administration's failure to keep us safe? Check me on this. But we haven't had any 3,000 people killed by people flying planes into buildings now, have we? Lately. No, I don't think we have. Now, granted, there has been a dramatic increase in mass murders in this country, but that's been going on for at least 20 years. And by the way, in case you just want to be ready for the next one, on average, in the United States of Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever, in the universe under God, amen. The average is now about every 2 months. So if you're trying to steel yourself against the next NRA death lottery, if you're hoping for a respite in which you can sort of get your psyche back together again before the NRA helps someone kill again, You got between now and about August. More particularly, early August. But it's coming. And Wayne LaPeter is making sure of it. Yeah, but the only reason we're talking about assault rifles is because of that one in our White House, you know, the Kenyan Muslim usurper who wants everybody's guns, even though he has not made a single effort to take any of them.
The politically correct policies of the White House are intruding right now in military, terrorism, law enforcement. It's all being politicized with the politically correct White House nose and fingers in areas they don't belong. And that's, now let's start with a terrorist watch list.
Time out. The White House's nose and fingers are, by definitions created within the Constitution of the United States, meant to be in issues of law enforcement and the military. Being as how the president during time of war, as it's defined inside the Constitution, is in fact said to be the commander-in-chief of the armed forces, which sort of predicates the presence of a nose and some fingers in their doings. But see, those weren't bullets. Do you understand? Those were not bullets that were killing people in Orlando. It was political correctness, which is another way for Wayne LaPierre to say that he's not allowed to use a particular word to describe Barack Obama on the Tiffany Network. Note coming from Clarence. Rapid gun control legislation. Bob, here's an idea to ponder. The minority, non-white, law-abiding population ought to have a mass go-buy-a-gun day. Congress would, with all deliberate speed, no, there would be no deliberate in there. Congress would, with all speed, take an interest in gun control. Remember the Black Panthers in 1967 at the California Assembly. Reagan moved very fast. Yes, he did. Because nothing says uppity like black folks with firearms. Back to the politically correct Kenyan Muslim usurper in our White House.
Let me, we'll address some of those claims in a minute, but just quickly on
this question
of you and Donald Trump. You're in the same place on this issue?
You know, Donald Trump's, as far as I know, he wants to attack criminals, he wants to protect the law-abiding, and he wants to attack ISIS and get the bad guys, and that's where we are.
How about that? He wants to attack criminals. I realize that our system is a bit problematic. I realize that our system is predicated on rights under the Constitution, and that oddly enough, there are more rights. Wayne LaPierre doesn't seem to know it, but that there are more rights in the Constitution than just the rights of pasty-faced, doughy white people to have all the guns they can manage to squeeze into their homes. There are rights, for instance, not to be adjudged a criminal until one has in fact, you know, committed a crime. I know. That is just nutty, isn't it? He wants the NRA wants to attack criminals, too. One wonders how they hope to go about that. Would the NRA, the world's largest, most powerful terrorist organization, like to just do away with due process altogether? Maybe the next big weapon to come out from their client manufacturers could be called the due process gun. Here's your due process. Blam, 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 blam. Because Wayne and Trump want to attack criminals. Oh, and by the way, do you notice how this paranoid madman, do you notice how he just kind of breezes past the fact that we're spending lots and lots and lots of taxpayer dollars bombing the living bejesus out of the Middle East some more? You notice how he just breezes by the fact that we've already had two more American service members on the ground? Not two more, but two. Killed in those efforts to suppress the Islamic State, such as they call themselves. Yeah, they were probably, you know, they were probably Muslim sympathizers anyway. Because, you know, we're politically correctly not attacking ISIS. No, really. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about attacking crime, may I commend your attention to a relatively new Supreme Court opinion. You might actually want to make yourself aware of this. It was argued February the 22nd, and it was decided yesterday. The name of the case is U.S. v. Strieff, Strieff. Mm-hmm. This is a real fun one. The syllabus point by the court says, where it is feasible... Now, never mind. That just says that they'll release one later. Narcotics detective Douglas Fackrell conducted surveillance on a South Salt Lake City residence based on an anonymous tip about drug activity. Because, you know, we're still fighting a war on drugs. Stupid us. The number of people he observed making brief visits to the house over the course of a week made him suspicious that the occupants were dealing drugs. After observing respondent Edward Strieff leave the residence, Officer Fackrell detained Strieff at a nearby parking lot, identifying himself and asking Strieff what he was doing at the house. He then requested Strieff's identification and relayed that information to a police dispatcher, who informed him that Strieff had an outstanding arrest warrant for a traffic violation. Officer Fackrell arrested Strieff, searched him, and found methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia. Strieff moved to suppress the evidence, arguing that it was derived from an unlawful investigatory stop. The trial court denied the motion, and the Utah Court of Appeals affirmed. The Utah Supreme Court reversed, however, and ordered the evidence suppressed. In other words, it had to go all the way to the Utah Supreme Court in order for some judge to realize that, wait a minute, well, I guess this is what he means by attacking criminals, Wayne LaPierre. Wayne LaPierre is just, I'm sure, just fine and dandy with U.S. v. Strieff. But the Utah Supreme Court said, no. The cops can't just wander around stopping people on the street and then shake them down, find out that they got a jaywalking bench warrant out for them, and then search them and bust them for the drugs. The whole damn thing's got to go. Oops. Enter the Supreme Court of the United States. Held. The evidence officer Fackrell seized incident to Streiff's arrest is admissible based on an application of the attenuation factors from Brown versus Illinois. In this case, there was no flagrant police misconduct, you know, except the part where he decides just to shake down a guy with no evidence whatsoever that there he had engaged in, and in fact had witnessed no illegal activity at all. Therefore, Officer Fackrell's discovery of a valid pre-existing and untainted arrest warrant attenuated the connection between the unconstitutional investigatory stop and the evidence seized incident to a lawful arrest. By attenuation, what they mean, attenuation is kind of like transubstantiation. It's a miracle. So, Streiff was not violating the law. But because the cop stopped him and shook him down and found out that there was a traffic warrant out for him, it made it okay for him. It went, oh, a miracle, and made an original stop okay after the fact. Got that, citizen? It could happen to you. And it'll happen to a lot of yous now that it's okay for the police, according to the Supreme Court of the United States, to just stop and shake people down for all of it if they decide you look like a suspicious character. You know, maybe your skin's a little darker than most of the skins of the people in, say, Utah. How did they manage to do this with a 4-4 tie on the court? Well, Justice Breyer decided to side with Roberts and Alito and Thomas and Kennedy and Justices Sotomayor and Ginsburg and Kagan got to pound sand. So maybe that's exactly what Wayne LaPeter means when he says that he wants to make war on criminals. You know, make war on them before they can be criminals. The funny thing is, though, if the guy had had a gun, well, then perhaps his sins might have been attenuated as well, and had the gun been seized, maybe Wayne LaPeter would have been outraged. I mean, there's no reason to stop a man on the street just because he's carrying a weapon. That's murka, right? Damn. And they say we don't know what fascism is. Ah, but anyway, back to Wayne LaPeter.
If a person's on a watch list, whether a no-fly or terror watch list, what should the policy be?
You know, let me talk about the watch list. I have never seen so much misinformation and poorly researched stories the last week as that, as we've seen. What happens on the watch list? People forget law enforcement set it up. They set it up exactly the way they wanted it, federal law enforcement. NRA didn't take the guy's name off the list. The federal government did, FBI did, largely because of some of these political correct policies that I think I've been talking about earlier.
No, not at all. You goddamn liar. If it were not for the NRA, it would have been more than possible to keep people who can't fly on planes from being able to buy guns. It is wholly disingenuous to say that the FBI set this policy up the way they wanted to. The FBI does not get to make laws. The FBI has to have some sort of guidance from a legislative or judicial body, or both. For instance, now, the FBI can just stop random people on the street and check to see if they've got a jaywalking ticket, and then shake them down to see if there's anything illegal about them. One of the things that in many states will not be illegal about them is if they happen to be carrying a firearm. Now, if they're carrying a firearm and a rock of crack cocaine, we're going to have a problem, because it's the cocaine that'll create the problem, not the firearm. See how it works? Sure. Jumpin' Jehoshaphat. But let's let him continue lying, by all means.
Here's what would have happened if they left him on the list. People don't understand this. There would have been a ping going to the federal government. They would have talked to the guy that actually put his name on the list. There would have been a three-day delay. During that delay, if the government wanted to stop it, they could go to court. They could stop it. What law enforcement wants to do 90% of the time, 99% of the time, is let it go through. They want to watch it. They want to build a case. They want to build patterns. FBI Director Comey said that he didn't want an outright ban because that would blow a lot of their criminal investigations.
But you also don't want terrorists with guns in their hands, right?
Nope, with guns.
So what's the accommodation we can find here?
The accommodation is the Cornyn bill, which does exactly what law enforcement set up. It codifies the whole thing. If somebody's on the list, tries to buy a gun, there's a delay. Law enforcement immediately gets on it. If they want to stop it, they go to a judge. They've got oversight.
Yeah, because, you know, we've got just, I mean, we do. We're gunned up, we're policed up, we're FBI'd up, and we got plenty of FBI agents to run around filing, and U.S. attorneys, too, for that matter, because, you know, we don't have any budget issues. I mean, the Republicans don't want to drown the government in the bathtub or anything, so we got plenty of lawyers to just run around trying to decide, you know, in a very short period of time, whether or not to file a case that then has to go through a court system that is glacially slow to begin with. See? But there's no ping. There's no three-day hold. Even if this guy had been on the terror watch list, the fact remains that Omar Mateen would have been sold his weapon, even if he couldn't get on a plane at the Orlando airport and, you know, fly to Tallahassee. Got it? And yet, I guess this makes sense to whoever it is, the guy that's not asking very good questions.
Have to do it right away, because the minute you do the delay, you're tipping off the bad guy. And it provides due process for the good people, and it gives law enforcement the ability where they can conduct these investigations, and it won't blow what they're doing.
Let me get back to your original point, which is in the reaction to this. Isn't it human nature to, when something happens, to reach for an explanation of what happened? So there's the terrorist piece, there's the LGBT piece.
Sure.
But are people so crazy to...
Hey, Matt in San Francisco, you're a piece. Gay people are a piece. There's the LGBT piece. Don't you love being reduced to... your lowest... common denominator. It's not even the lowest common denominator. It's the reductio ad invisibilum. Let's hear about these pieces again.
Isn't it human nature to, when something happens, to reach for an explanation of what happened? So there's the terrorist piece, there's the LGBT piece.
Sure.
But are people so crazy to think that a weapon that is involved in the case and has been in other cases is not something to just seek into and inquire and find out what's going on? You're kind of making it sound like it's a conspiracy. Aren't people just trying to figure out why people should be able to have access to weapons that produce bullets so quickly, and maybe we should do something to curb that? That seems like a human reaction.
John, I think we need to look right in the face of what these people are that we're facing. They don't care about the law. Laws didn't stop them in Boston. Laws didn't stop them in San Bernardino, where you had every type of gun control law you could have. And they didn't stop them in Paris, where people can't even own guns.
Time out. laws have stopped a lot of guns in Europe. It's just that it's very, very hard to stop them all. I mean, what was it that Kinda Sleazy Rice goes great with Kinda Sleazy Chicken? What was it she said? They've only got to get it right once. We've got to get it right every time. Huh? But, you know, Wayne LaPierre, he doesn't... Look, he'd make the same argument if it was 500 dead in Orlando. Guns had nothing to do with it. These people, he says, these people. And by that, he wants you to understand terrorists. Radical Islamic terrorists. Because remember, he started off saying, you know, they've got us on the verge of being overwhelmed. Some verge out there. I mean, I guess that means that Dylann Roof was a radical Islamic terrorist. And the guy in Tucson and the guy in Aurora, Colorado. Yeah, right. And if we take away their guns, they'll just use pressure cookers. No, they won't necessarily. Yeah, well.
They had fully automatic guns. They had ICDs. They had explosives. I mean, these bad guys we're facing, they don't say, oh, gosh, they passed a law. Oh, gosh, I don't think I can do it. It's like what we're doing with this debate on the Hill right now. It's like they're trying to stop a freight train with a piece of Kleenex.
Wouldn't it?
Yeah, because ISIS is a freight train. Long way off. On the other hand, a guy walks into Billy Bob's Gun and Death and says, I want a gun. Wayne LaPierre wants him to have a gun. Right? Because freedom. Sure. Do go on, Wayne.
But wouldn't a pause or a waiting period or extra scrutiny or something maybe create one more filter that might have caught a guy like Mateen? It goes the argument. The filter is take him.
Notice he says goes the argument because he doesn't want Wayne LaPierre to think that, you know, he agrees with that because some NRA wacko might come over and blow his tiny brains out. If they thought he actually believed it, it goes the argument.
Off the street, confront him directly. Attack them. That's what we've got to do.
You said a good guy with a gun stops a bad guy with a gun. There was a good guy with a gun in stop him.
Well, what every place needs is a security plan that protects it. The fact is, we need to face what's coming. They're trying.
What does that even mean? Yeah, okay. I guess there was a good guy with a gun there. What we need is more good guys with guns. We've got to have a security plan. See, he didn't have a security plan. He was a good guy with a gun, but didn't have a security plan. Need a security plan. We've got to attack them. Must have been watching Geraldo.
Trying to kill us. They're not going to attack hard targets. All the hard targets are protected by the government with guns. They're going to go for vulnerabilities. They're going to go for shopping malls. They're going to go for churches. The fact is, we need vigilance. We need preparedness. We need a...
Wait, they're going to go for churches? You mean like Dylann Roof, the not Muslim guy, did? With the firearms he got easily? Yeah.
Full court press on personal protection. Donald, we need to be able to protect ourselves.
Donald Trump has suggested concealed carry in a nightclub where people are drinking.
I don't think you should have firearms where people are drinking, but I'll tell you this.
Yeah, that's funny. The NRA has been lock, stock, and smoking barrel behind all kinds of laws that would allow... firearms in places where people are drinking, Tennessee, South Carolina, etc. The NRA has never gone before a legislative body and said, oh, hell no, not this time. This time, Buster, you've gone too far. The NRA specifically wanted the concealed carry bill that is now law in the state of West Virginia that makes you look everywhere you go and wonder who's got a damn gun and who's going to go off his tiny little fucking bean any goddamn minute and, you know, unleash some freedom all over people. Lying sack of shit.
Everybody, every American starts to needs to start having a security plan. We need to be able to protect ourselves because they're coming. And they're going to go for vulnerable spots, and this country needs to realize it.
What is that?
You know, vulnerable spots. Soft, white underbellies. They're coming for you. You, right there. Sitting in your chair watching the Fox News, Emery. And they're going to rape your beloved Marveline. In the name of Aller. And you sissy, you won't have a gun, and you won't be able to stop none of it. Because you're politically crack. Yeah, precisely. Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, pointing out, bad guys? Bad guys? Isn't that the kind of phrase a five-year-old uses to refer to the boogeyman? Yes, it is. The radical Islamic terrorist boogeyman, damn it! They're coming for us. They're coming for us. They're almost here. They're here. They're there. They're everywhere. They're worse than heffalumps and woozles. Don't you understand? We need protection plans. Which means guns. Buy more guns. Why didn't he just say buy more guns? Please buy more guns. My salary is predicated on you buying more guns. I want to keep my job. Buy more guns. It would at least be considerably more honest that way.
That means a security plan. Should everybody get an automatic or a semi-automatic, or should we lift the limits against automatic weapons?
I think that we're talking about the fact law-abiding people need to be able to own firearms to protect themselves. I think we need national carry reciprocity. I think every school needs a protection plan with either police officer or certified armed security. When we need to look at all our vulnerabilities, and we need to harden because they're coming, and they're going to try to kill us, and we need to be prepared. And this president.
Like I said, under any other circumstance, this guy would be considered a raving lunatic. A paranoid of the diagnosable variety. DSM-4, lots of axes. Yep, this one and that one and that one. Oh, check his calendar. They're coming for it. Honest to God, you would think that the ISIS landing crafts were beaching on the shores of Rehoboth, even as we're speaking. You know, moving up the Potomac River. They're not. They're criminals. They're thugs. There are not that many of them. Clarence noting, NRA security plan, the element of surprise will trump that plan every time. Yep, because nobody's sitting there, nobody spends every day sitting with their gun pointed at the door. Brother Usher Steve says, fear, fear, fear. Exactly. Adding, how many times have I heard that the death penalty deters murder? It's not a deterrent. Carol Baker says, here's my fucking security plan. Disarm everyone. Yeah. I mean, this is stunning. in its weirdness.
To be able to protect ourselves because they're coming. And they're going to go for vulnerable spots, and this country needs to realize it.
What does that mean, a security plan? Should everybody get an automatic or a semi-automatic, or should we lift the limits against automatic weapons?
Should we lift limits against semi-automatic weapons?
I think that we're talking about the fact...
Yeah, we'd like that. He wants everybody to have a goddamn machine gun, but he can't quite say that in public yet. Because there aren't quite enough people that think that's a great idea for everybody to be as gunned up as Dillinger's mob was.
Law-abiding people need to be able to own firearms to protect themselves. I think we need national carry reciprocity.
There's one. National carry reciprocity. What does that mean? That means if you can concealed carry in Alabama, he wants you to be able to concealed carry in Times Square. That means if you can concealed carry in Busted Knuckle, Idaho, he wants you to be able to concealed carry in downtown L.A. Because that's the only way he can ever get complete gun dominance in this country and turn this place into the fully blood-soaked shooting gallery that the NRA wants it to be, so that this government can then be completely overwhelmed and constitutional governance absolutely and finally destroyed. As Brother Deacon Asa says, Wayne Little Peter wants a heavily armed police state dystopia like Israel, where every time you want to go into a goddamn mall, you have to have your purse rummaged through by three guys packing machine guns. Carol wants to know, who the fuck is they who is coming for me? Muslims, Carol! Muslims! Radical Islam terrorists! They's everywhere! And nowhere! That's what makes them so dangerous. Don't you see?
I think every school needs a protection plan with either police officer or certified armed security. When we need to look.
Certified armed security, otherwise known as Jim Jeffries pointed out, the Australian comedian, otherwise known as Kevin, who's making $16 an hour to be a hero.
Look at all our vulnerabilities, and we need to harden them because they're coming and they're going to try to kill us. And we need
to look at all our vulnerabilities and harden them. Is that what he said? I mean, he's at the point where he's just frothing at the mouth and shit's just falling out like he's got the turtle squirts.
Very reciprocity. I think every school needs a protection plan with either police officer or certified armed security. When we need to look at all our vulnerabilities, and we need to harden them because they're coming and they're going to try to kill us, and we need to be prepared. And this president, by diverting the attention to gun control movement, that's not going to solve the problem. They could care less. Do you think Donald...
Really? They could care less? Do we have to go through that again? Oh, well, let's just assume that Wayne LaPeter is an overpaid, inarticulate asshole, shall we? I don't have time or nor the patience at this point. Yeah, because that's what Barack Obama's doing. He's diverting our tourist problem. Which doesn't happen very much, to a discussion about gun control and the fact that this, I mean, even if this guy's a tourist, he still did his terrorism. You know, he was born in Merca, and he got him a gun at a gun shop because he's a Mercan, and he did his damage. Yeah, I mean, he could have used a pressure cooker. Well, yeah, he could have. But he'd have had to have had the brains to be able to do that. Hey, by the way, now this has gone on for 5 minutes and 58 seconds. Where's the discussion of homophobia? Where's the discussion of hate? Where's the discussion of the suffusion of this country? I mean, usually the America's largest terrorist organization, the NRA, is right out front hollering about what we got to do is do something about the mentally ill. Of course, we don't support universal single payer health care or anything like that. But you got to do something about it. Not a word about the gay community. You're right, Matt, in San Francisco, they completely disappeared gay people into nothing but anonymous victims of radical Islam terrorism.
Trump mentioned somebody going in buying all sorts of ammunition. Should the amount of ammunition somebody buys get them extra scrutiny?
Again, you're going to an area that doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference.
Well, but he's running for the nomination, and you've endorsed him, so...
That doesn't matter. I mean, because, you know, if Omar Mateen had only had one bullet, he still would have killed 49 people and maimed 53 others with a magic Mateen bullet. So, I mean, just because somebody's got 10,000 rounds of assault rifle ammunition doesn't mean that they necessarily have any ill intentions. They just did the freedom. And have you ever sat there with your Cheetos in your easy chair and your boxer shorts and just poured ammunition all over your crotch and begun to rub real good? Oh, that's exciting. It is. Okay, I can't stand anymore. Let's go have a conversation instead, shall we? Let us go forth, and I suspect... Hey, by the way, can I mention this just real quick? I have filibobstered through half of the program now. It's about 18 minutes and change before 8 p.m. here in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone. And we try to raise $200 every evening just to keep the program going. And we're at zero. Zip, zilch, nada, niente. Nihil. And there are bills out there waiting to be paid. Zero. So anybody wanting to hit the PayPal button, that'd be real cool. Let's go and talk to Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Bob. How's it going, man?
Oh, I'm holding it together, I think.
The graphic and the Lazy Boy, that was nasty. That was really bad.
Well, the only problem with that is you have to clean the ammunition later, because otherwise it can jam your firearm. You don't want sticky AR-15 rounds.
Yeah, it might blow up in your face and all that. You know what? Do you remember the Wizard of Oz?
Of course.
Okay, so what did these weirdos think? Did they think that Dorothy had to clap her heels three times and say, "Islamic terrorists, Islamic radical Muslim terrorists"? You know, what is wrong with these people?
Well, they're idiots. I mean, sometimes you just have to deal with the facts as they are presented to you. They are idiots.
Okay. See, that's a whole other program. I mean, honestly, it might be, because I'm not understanding this radical Muslim terrorist thing. It's got nothing to do with the guy who shot up that club, because it's obvious the dude was afflicted sexually and he had access to a gun and he was just crazy. It's a crazy dude who was gay. And
yeah, but see, right at the very but Todd, right at the very end, he said, "And I pledge allegiance to Hezbollah and ISIS."
Yeah, well. Did you see how long it took for, Hezbollah, I don't think, ever said anything. It took ISIS like a week to say, "Yeah, all right, we'll take. You know, come on, that's bullshit.
Yeah, I think it was a couple of days, but, you know, they'll take anything. They're the Mikey of Middle Eastern terrorism. Oh, the guy had a clown suit on? That's a new ISIS tactic. That's what that is. Yeah, he's our guy.
I think our lack of education in this country with the history and everything else is really giving us a problem, because it seems like if our country had not ginned up the Mujahideen just to fight the Soviets in Afghanistan.
But realistically, Todd, it goes back further than that. We ginned up a whole lot of bad feelings when we ran the coup that overturned Mohammad Mossadegh and his democratically elected government in Iran and replaced him with the Shah.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Absolutely. Well, yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm glad that Bernie brought that up in the debate, too. And it fell onto deaf ears because the kids didn't really, with the kids, a lot of people didn't understand that. Yeah, I have to agree. Yes. But you know, and remember when Obama, the president, was lambasted for bringing up the Crusades? You know, so there's history behind this stuff. You know, because you know any kind of fundamentalism is dangerous, and the fundamentalism in weapons, and, you know, guns in particular, it's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing, and people are talking about, well, if more people had guns in the bar. That's ridiculous.
Well, don't you have a guns in bars debate going down in South Carolina, Stan, right now?
Oh, there are. I'm at a loss for words. It's almost like you do not want to go out. You really don't. These folks, every time something happens, you see them. You could tell who's got the ankle gun on. You can see it through their pants. And it's older women who scare me. These old women in the supermarket parking lot, you know, the way they look at some people, you can tell that they're strapped. And I'm thinking,
well, I mean, is it going to be legal to say, take your Freedom Protector there to the annual tilt between, say, Clemson and the University of South Carolina?
Oh, well, that'd be interesting. Because those folks can't stand each other anyway. That's crazy. That's going to be crazy. But, you know, where does it stop? Where does it stop? So everybody's dead?
No, just the ones who don't like guns. Because responsible gun owners are always responsible gun owners. I mean, Daddy never puts a little single-shot Cricket 22 rifle in Precious Lumpkin's baby bed. And a couple of years later, Precious Lumpkin gets the Cricket single shot rifle out that Daddy's done taught her to shoot, and blows away her 2 year old baby brother. That never happens, except when it does.
Yeah, gun feel. So, on the other front, the people are still building in the illegal territories over there in Israel. Did you hear that?
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I hope you're not losing anybody, but, you know, we got to separate the truth from the fiction with this, because when people hear foreign aid, the average person doesn't understand it.
That's because we had years and years, at least those of us of a certain age, years and years, Todd, of seeing video of pallets of wheat and rice, you know, the giant ones being lifted on chains and hoisted over onto freighters that were going to, and you know, and it was stamped, you know, a loving gift from the people of the United States of America. And that's what we think about when we think about, you know, feeding hungry people. But no, in cases of places like Egypt and Israel, when we say foreign aid, we mean tons of guns.
You know, we need to find a better growth industry in this country than arms manufacturing. And
it's all we got left, Todd.
Well, but you know, it doesn't mean we can't do better. I know it's all we have left, but that doesn't mean we can't do better. We can do better. We have to demand. You know, if you ask for nothing, you get nothing. And like Bernie was saying, just like Bernie was saying with the negotiations. See, he's been in Congress a long time. If you ask for crumbs, if you ask for half a loaf to get crumbs, you have to ask for more, because you know once it gets through the meat grinder of Congress, you're going to get left.
Right. You ask for the sun, moon, and stars, hoping that you'll get, you know, a crescent moon.
Exactly.
Ooh, wait, that might have been radical Islamic terrorism there. Damn, I sure hope Wayne LaPierre doesn't come and attack crime on me.
Oh, man. Well,
will you forgive me if I say that I despise that person, that I would not pee in his mouth if his goddamn guts were on fire?
Holy cow, Bob.
I mean, I do. If I opened up, and you know, ask not for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. But honest to Jesus, there are a couple of people on this planet that if I opened up the newspaper and it said hit by bus and then rolled over by steamroller, I'd ask, you know, damn, that's all? You know, one of those is Dick Cheney. The other one, another one of them is Wayne LaPierre.
Well.
But the thing is, there's no, that just, you know, that says more about me than about them. Because, see, there's, just as Ted Nugent was standing there right behind Charlton Heston, there's somebody waiting for Wayne LaPierre to shuffle off this mortal coil so he can get out there and spew even crazier shit for $1 million a year or more.
Well, the people across the street from me, the wealthy folks who live out, they just live across the road. They have guns on Cleveland over there, and every day they have heavy ammunition. I mean, they have, like, cannons and shit. You can hear it. And apparently, you know, you can get machine guns here. I mean, the little tinkerer dude, all he's got to do, they know what they're doing. They just file down whatever you have to do. It's a spring and a firing pin you just modify, and they turn the semi-automatic into a full automatic because you can hear it. And it's a wink and a nod. You know, they don't care. But these folks are just frightened.
Well, I mean, that stuff's supposed to be illegal. You know, fully automatic machine gun is supposed to be illegal as hell, and that's even been upheld by the Supreme Court.
Well, so what? What is that supposed to mean? Not here.
Yeah, how many divisions does the Supreme Court command? I get it.
No, but I'm just saying that people do it. They do what they want to do. They do what they want to do because they have property and you know, like that Boss Hog type shit. They do it. I know what I hear. Those folks, they're just waiting for shit to break open, right? For something to happen. So they have an excuse to mow people down. I mean, I don't. And you know, ammunition is not cheap. These folks are going through thousands of dollars of ammunition every weekend. You know, and I'm wondering how much the water around here is getting poisoned from all the lead. You know, it gets leached out from these bullets. But I don't know where this stuff stops.
Well, that's not so much the water getting poisoned as it is the wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
That tries to live there and winds up consuming that stuff.
Well, I don't know. It was a couple of things. I just wish that the folks. It's going back to education because I think if people had a better foothold in history, and I kind of heard Dr. Bill. So I'm not caught up on him as I used to be. I just haven't had the time, but. It seems like politically we would not be where we are just, you know, by virtue of common sense and logic. We could not be where we are. We couldn't have this weirdo fascist idiot because half these people don't even know what a fascist is, which in itself is a problem, you know. But like I've been saying, I don't think he's going to be the nominee. I don't think he's going to make it for a number of reasons, but whatever. Anyway, I wish I had a placard in front of me.
Wait! You know, you're still holding out hope.
Oh yeah, he's pissed too many people off, broke. There's a lot of reasons.
But they got rules. They got rules they have to deal with, Todd.
Exactly. They can wherever he's at. I think he lives in West 50. I don't know what his address is, but they can just write that rule, right? Say okay, open first vote, second vote. Anyone who lives at, you know, 328 West 52nd Street is not eligible to be the Republican nominee. And that's easy and done. However, they have to deal with the liquor drinking, gun shooting people who have been supporting him, who have no money.
But do have a lot of guns.
They have a lot of guns.
And if you've been paying attention, Todd, the latest is that there are calls being put out for lots of people to bring lots of guns to Cleveland to shoot Black Lives Matter activists.
Well, that's exactly what some folks want. They want unrest. See? They want unrest. See, this is a strange, we're in a strange time because both sides, us and the other side, we both agree that everything is messed up, but we have different solutions. But we both agree everything's messed up. That's why the outsider, we did have a choice between good and evil, but now we have a choice between bad and worse. Okay? That's where we are. You know, it would be great if Bernie stayed in. And it's really remarkable to me that the most honest candidate, no matter what party you were in, always came out. People said, yeah, well, Bernie's the most honest one. How in the fuck could the most honest person not be voted for? And no, it makes no sense.
Well, you know what kind of blew my mind? I saw a story come out last night talking about the fact that the Trump campaign has about $1.3 million right now, cash on hand.
Okay.
The I'm With Her campaign has $42 million. The Clinton campaign has $42 million. That have come primarily from hedge fund managers, Wall Street types, billionaires, the billionaire class that Bernie kept talking about. And as I was reading the story, I thought, yeah, don't look for any serious reform of campaign finance laws anytime soon.
No. No. Right. See, he was put in there maybe. You know, it served its purpose. He needed that money for taxes to launder some money. You know, he never wanted to give up his taxes because that's the biggest scam going. If you have enough money to get started and you want to run for president, you can finagle a lot, right? And he's always been a finagler. And I don't know, it's so funny. I don't know if you've seen that movie, Funny or Die, as the producer was the producer of it, but it's the art of the deal, but it's a parody.
Oh yeah, I've seen yeah.
Okay, so that is a really good nutshell. If you ever have been following that guy since the 70s and 80s and whatnot. So, you know, he's always been a scammer. You know, that's his thing. But yeah, so this is going to be business as usual because she cannot wait to get us. We're going to have to pull her back from taking us into another war if she wins. Now, if she wins, because I don't think it's
well, those weren't that wasn't really a bunch of, that was not a bunch of Bernie supporters who signed that dissident letter in the State Department a couple of days ago, demanding that we bomb the Assad regime in Syria.
I was offended by that. I was really offended.
Well, I mean, can we take a minute with that, Todd?
Sure, I would love to. That's very important. I think
now,
it's very important.
Now, if we bomb the Assad regime and wind up, oops the baby, toppling the Assad regime, then that leaves a power vacuum that's going to make the power vacuum after Saddam Hussein look like nothing. It's just nothing. And into that, and the one of the best parts of the dissident statement was, we need to arm the moderate rebels. Yeah,
arm.
Which guy is that? Because see, there aren't any moderate rebels.
That's a fiction.
But in other words, these clowns in the State Department want to create another Iraq in a hell that was created by what we did in Iraq in the first place. And guess who just
right.
happens to support getting some war on in the rest of Syria? Trump and Hillary.
Okay, so we're back to the false choice in that respect. See, this is a problem. This is a huge problem. See, there's the powers that be. They don't make any money. Much war is money for a lot of people. And it's a lot of misery for a lot of other people. And we have to get out of this morass that we're in, this nonsense. This is just nonsense. And they bitch about somebody getting $50 a month to feed their damn children over here when they've got these 50 caliber machine guns. Brrr, you know how much money that costs if you fire that damn thing for a minute? How much money is that? Like $200 maybe?
Probably every bit of it.
See? The fuck is that shit? That's terrible. It's awful. And then you wonder why these people hate us. You know, maybe if we just stop, freeze, everybody just stop. Let's come home, worry about what the hell we have to do. Leave those people alone. They don't see, they want theocracy. We want whatever we have, and we want whatever. We want different things. Now, some of us do want theocracy, but that's not the way our Constitution is written. But I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say here.
No, I do. I do.
But, you know, the Eastern mindset is different. You know, we should have left those people alone in the first place. You know, and a lot of that has to do with the petrodollar and going into the gold standard and all that, all that stuff. But we have got to stop this. This war is not the answer. It really, I agree with you. And we don't know what kind of side deals are going on, because we already know that Clinton already, personally, she has assets in some of these precious metal mines and gas lines coming from the Stan countries, coming down from Tajikistan, Kazakhstan, that area, right? And we're already messing around on the edge of the Ukraine and Crimea. We haven't heard much about that lately, but in my opinion, Putin's been a good character, if you ask me. You know, he's holding his own.
Well, I think he's a power mad maniac too.
I do too. I'm not saying he's not, but I'm saying he's not. It could be a lot worse. It could be a lot worse, because I don't see where Assad may not be the greatest guy. You know, but we don't live over there. You know.
Well, so what you're saying, he's kind of kept Assad in check a little bit.
Exactly.
But not enough to keep Assad from continuing to bomb civilian populations.
And maybe he is, maybe he isn't, because some of that gas that was marked, you know, all this gas has a marker on it, like radioactive materials, and oil. You can tell where it comes from. So it was never clear exactly where that gas was coming from. And then a barrel bomb, you know, I don't know. But what I'm saying is that we have enough to worry about. We have enough to worry about. George Bush started this nonsense recently. I mean, it was already started, but that, you know, he's one of these born-again Christians, and then when he started quoting the Bible, going over there and walking through the Valley of Death, or whatever that nonsense is, that just opened this can of worms. And it just doesn't sit well with a lot of people. Because you got that president who had a brain of clay, and behind him you have the puppet master Cheney, who has his hands in all kinds of defense industries and no big contracts. And here we are. You know, so I don't know. People better wake up. And if Hillary does win, because I don't know, whoever comes in, I don't think it's going to be Trump. But whoever, and if it is,
I think at this point, while I have predicted that Hillary will lose, there's a chance she won't. But I gotta say that Todd, I think they're stuck with him. I really, really do. Because his supporters are armed and dangerous.
I agree.
And if they're all going to bring their guns to Cleveland anyway, and given that Cleveland doesn't have much in the way of firearms laws, Well, then they don't nominate Trump at their peril.
Well, see, that opens up a whole other can of worms, because then you can see the National Guard coming in, and it gives the government an excuse to...
Oh, hell no. No. The National Guard can't come in, because that would mean that the Barack Hussein Obama, the Kenyan Muslim usurper, has declared war on Merca.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then and then all the shit hits the fan.
This is looking so crazy. This whole thing is just looking like, you remember Risk? Remember that board game Risk?
Oh, I've played many a happy hour and some frustrated ones of Risk.
So this is like a crazy ass Risk game, because now we're getting down to it. See, because Trump is not acting hungry anymore. He's really not. He doesn't give a damn.
Well, that's why I say that I've come to the conclusion that it was all a big setup in the first place.
It smells, doesn't it smell?
It stinks to high heaven.
Well, I wish I had a placard to give you a plug. I went to the website. But anyway, Bob Kincaid is doing a great job, and I wish I had the snail mail account, the snail mail address to give people right now, but I don't. But PayPal works. Visa works.
Well, and I do have some happy news along those lines.
What's up?
One, I had an email from Rusty, who let me know that $50 is going in the mail to Boss Man Wayne. One.
Wonderful.
And then from Matt in San Francisco, a challenge. $103 on the table in commemoration. I'm sorry, $102 in commemoration of everybody shot at Pulse, and more particularly in commemoration of the $102 of the 102 individuals who have been turned into terrorism set pieces and had their gayness completely ignored by people like Wayne LaPierre. And so what Matt in San Francisco would like is he's offering that as a challenge. He wants to see another $102 come in, which would be excellent. So the challenge is on the table. There's $50 out there going into the mail, and there's a $102 challenge on the table.
$50 out there, and roughly 50 minutes left in the program.
About 52 minutes left in the program to raise up $102. So that's pretty awesome. And since you don't have the snail mail address, I'll do that. The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, Beckley, WV 25801.
Everyone, that was Bob Kincaid. Please support his show. I will be giving the plug next time.
Oh, you wrote it down, did you?
I'll have it. if you take my call, I'll have it, because I do have a voice.
I always take your calls, Todd. I always take your calls. By the way, one last little piece of news for you on the way out the door, perhaps. Sparky just shared this with me. Earlier today, because they had a cracked windshield, two men in their 50s and one woman in her 20s from Pennsylvania were stopped in the Holland Tunnel. Actually stopped on the New Jersey side of the Holland Tunnel. It was about 8 o'clock this morning. In their vehicle, they had... one, two, three, four, five loaded semi-automatic pistols. They had a tactical, looks like semi-automatic shotgun. They had a semi-automatic rifle. assault rifle, pistol gripped. And they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 magazines for the semi-automatic rifle. And they had a couple of bandoliers of what looks like 12-gauge ammunition for the shotgun.
Two people?
Two men, one woman. They had an ammo box. They had a whole bunch of knives. They had a camouflage helmet with what looked like night vision goggles. And they told police that they were on the way to Queens to try to save a friend who's on heroin and being held against her will. The police were quick to point out that it does not appear to be terrorism related. Because what that tells us is they were white folks.
They're white. They're probably headed to 704 Hauser Street.
Meanwhile, the truck itself, a Dodge Durango, had a big picture of the U.S. Constitution on it and a big picture of the Second Amendment on it. It had an arrow for an antenna. It had labels for Monster Energy. Let me see here. What else? Tonka trucks and a decal that said Higher Ground Tactical, which, as far as NBC is able to find out, is the name of a shooting range in Emmaus, Pennsylvania.
Emmaus. I know where that is. Emmaus, PA.
Yeah, E-M-M-A-U-S.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They had ballistic vests, but it had nothing to do with terrorism. And they were described as two senior law. You're going to love this part. You might want to get to hockey puck, Todd. The two senior law enforcement officials say the three suspects are gun enthusiasts and have no nexus to terror. There is. Now, I just read you the list of everything they had. There is no known threat.
What? The fuck?
Drugs were in the vehicle along with the guns.
Drugs too? Oh, fuck that. Oh, fuck that shit. Fuck that. Oh, you just wanted to hear me go, oh my God, man, what the fuck does it take?
God Almighty, can you? I mean, they'd have had to double depend Dwayne LaPierre for the PP, and he would have done, and had that been some dude named Abdullah.
Well, the fact that folks cannot parse this out, a lot of people, and they just can't get it through their brains. I'm telling you, I'll never forget when I was told, about black people having guns in the South. This is like, we're back to Jim Crow. I'm just telling you, if you don't, I live here. I live in the deep, well, I call it the deep South. This is the deep South to me. All right.
Yeah, it's not the same South.
Well, I'm just saying that. See, the new way to lynch black, all the folks out here, Carol probably knows this, and Carol's keeping the folks in Hooterville under control, I'm quite sure, because she's a strong personality. But you see, the new way to lynch black people now is with these stand your ground laws. Because just like I was talking about, you got these older ladies, and all they have to do is say, oh, he looked frightened to me, bam, and you're shot dead on the street. Forget about it. You know? And that's it. You get a jury trial, like, well, yeah, you know how them blacks are, and then the black on white crime. And the average motherfucker doesn't even understand. It's so simple. Most crimes are committed against people who look just like them. I mean, it's that it's been like that for ever since people have been compiling statistics, the UCR, and it will continue to be that way because that's just the way it is. People don't get in cars and go around looking for people who don't look like them to commit crimes again. You know, for the most part. And that's the way it is. You know, and this scary stuff, this, you know, quote unquote terrorism. Let me tell you, these people don't scare me at all. I'm more scared of these Klans people around here because they're the original terrorists. They're the ones who've been bombing us, other Americans who pay taxes, who have property. And the next motherfucker who tells me to put myself up by my bootstrap, I'm going to kick that motherfucker in the nuts. Because every time black people get something going, they burn it the fuck down. And if you don't know that, read your goddamn history book. And take that to the bank.
Yeah, I do know that.
I know you do, and most of the people who listen to this program know. You know exactly what the fuck I'm talking about, don't you?
Rosewood.
Oklahoma.
Tulsa.
Tulsa, correct.
East St. Louis. East St. Louis?
Mm-hmm. And there's more. Oh, and you know what?
There were a couple of places that were referred to as Black Wall Streets, one in North Carolina, one in Richmond. I think they were both burnt.
See? So a lot of folks, you know, who like to use that argument, well, I don't owe you nothing, and you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's a reason that black folks don't have, I forgot the term now, but anyways, carryover income. You know, like your parents give you a house, whatever, blah, blah, blah. You know, a lot of people have that luxury. A lot of people don't for a reason. And that leads to a lot of things. It leads to people not being able to vote because they don't have enough money to get the stupid-ass ID you need to vote. You know, this shit just galls me. I mean, now I've had a foot in rural America and a foot in the real city, in a big city. And people who have never lived in a big city, you don't understand how. You think it's anonymous. It's not. You live in a neighborhood. You live somewhere. Everybody sees you every day. And when you go to vote, those old women, those old guys in there, they see you going to the grocery store. They know you. If you stick out, they're going to ask you, hey, so I hadn't seen you around. What's going on? You can't just walk in and vote. There is no voter fraud. There's election fraud. We've had elections stolen. There's no voter fraud.
Yeah, bingo. Yeah. By the way, you just got a note from Carol Baker. She said, I just love Todd. I keep the Hootervillians in line by turning up the deck speakers when Todd's on.
I love that. I love Carol. Carol, you have my thanks and praises. You have my thanks and praises, and I respect the hell out of you, Carol. Oh my God, I had one other story I wanted to mention, and that's okay. I heard from Carol that made my day. Carol, you made my day. It was something else that was going on. It was just so crazy, man. We got to put a stop to this nonsense. I mean,
I don't think it's stopping anytime soon, Todd.
Where does that leave us?
Well, that leaves us, you know, forming our little communities, looking out for each other, trying to be good to each other, commiserating, trying to brainstorm how best to protect ourselves from the maniacs. And, I mean, you know, hope in one hand and in the other and see which way, but... And hoping that at some point in time this country turns a corner. My theory is that our next corner is the 2020 census. And as I explained to Jules last night, the next chance I see for taking the putting the House back in the hands of sane people is the midterm elections of November 2022. Which means the first time that a sane House of Representatives or a sane Congress generally can sit is January 2023.
Well,
I could be completely wrong. Hillary Clinton may have coattails that are 10 miles long, and she'll sweep in a wave of pragmatic progressives all over the country. But I would not bet that way.
Well, you know, you were talking about Black Lives Matter, and this is what gets me is folks. I liken it to the same dynamic where a lot of people don't understand. Well, why do you have black newspapers? Why do you have to have black this and black that? And they don't get that the larger society doesn't afford many times. It's changed a lot. Don't get me wrong, but they just don't get it that things don't get covered and things aren't perceived the same way, right? Otherwise, we wouldn't have the need to do that. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to ask, well, why do Black Lives Matter? You know, well, why is it that that person who happened to be a cop rolled up on the young man in Cleveland and in 2 seconds just shot him dead instead of maybe looking at the situation?
Well, I mean, that's why I brought up the story of the 69-year-old guy in Florida. Dude has pumped untold rounds through a woman's door and all the way into her kitchen cabinetry, done $3,000 worth of damage at least. And the police roll up, and he's still alive.
Well, it's a problem. It's a perception problem. And I don't know. This black guy in the White House is just set. I'm going back to my addict reference, right? Well, if you're a drug addict, the hardest thing to do is to look in the mirror and say, damn, I'm a pill head, or I'm an alcoholic, or I'm, you know, a heroin addict. And if you have to look in the mirror and say that to yourself, that shit hurts.
Well, that, and then to follow up by saying, and I have got to get clean.
There you go. Exactly. Now, see, that's what America has to do. But America doesn't want to do it because America thinks everything's okay. Why don't they just act right? I'm telling you, when you listen to C-SPAN in the morning, Washington Journal, I'm addicted to it.
Yeah, I know. You're the official C-SPAN Washington Journal correspondent, Todd.
Bob, it's like the worst comic book you could ever write. It's the ultimate adult. I'm like, what are you people on? Where do you live? I know where you live because you said where you came from, but my God.
But what you're dealing with is a sort of emotional and intellectual compartmentalization, because the way the gun goober's mind works is this, Todd. Well, I got me 17 AR-15s. And I ain't shot up no nightclubs. Why should I have to be punished because somebody else did that? And I referenced him earlier, the Australian comedian Jim Jefferies, who put it so perfectly, said, because we have to walk as slow as the slowest member of society in order to maintain a viable culture, you know. He said, and his example was, all I could do drags like a champion. Oh, but George over there, well, he OD'd. So I don't have any drags. And I can drive as fast as I want to. I'm an excellent driver. But, thanks, Susie. You got drunk and ran over a family of five. Back. And that's the way it is. Yes, you don't get to, you know. I read this piece that our buddy Horst put on Facebook earlier today. Some gun fetishist writing about why he needs, by God, and has the right to have an AR-15, because it's the ultimate Lego set for grown-ups. He wrote that.
What? That's the dumbest fucking shit I ever heard in my life.
And he needs it to shoot varmints.
All right.
See, and he doesn't want to have a gun to shoot varmints, and a different gun to shoot 500-pound feral hogs, and a different gun to shoot people. He wants to have one gun with interchangeable pieces that can do all three jobs.
Well, move off to an island where you can do all that shit with the rest of the world.
Well, but the thing is, as I noted, it all falls apart, Todd, when you ask them one simple hypothetical question. If you knew to a 100% certainty that you giving up your assault rifle and everyone giving up their assault rifles would mean that one five-year-old got to be a six-year-old, would you do it? And I've had the experience of asking that question. And they said, oh, I mean, that's just a hypothetical question. I mean, there's no way you could ever prove that. And I said, so the answer is no. No, you would not save one child's life by giving up these goddamn weapons.
You know what? It's not going to stop. You're right, because it's not. It is not. The way what I see... I told you, I went to school with a guy in this town. He's dead now. He died of brain cancer. Before he died, he had a gun shop. I never would have thought he would own a gun store. But his parents, this white dude, his parents are libertarians and whatnot, and they have property out in the country, and they have a retaining pond. They're, you know, I've come to pretty much think they're survivalists. That's what they are. But they're not a weird. They're not really as weird as many of them are. But they're still survivalists. They're good people. But when I saw, I was like, "You mean people can come in and buy that? I mean, they got AKs in there." I was like, "Wow, people, you can really walk in here and buy that?" You're like, "Well, yeah, you have to fill out a little paperwork and everything, but yeah, you can get that." You know, and he had his FFL license and all that, you know.
Oh, I had a good buddy had his FFL, and he used to make his own homemade black powder grenades for his grenade launcher and go turkey hunting with it.
Oh, God. See, wait, you're going where I wanted to go with this. See, this is actually a growth opportunity because a lot of these people like to be entrepreneurs and they love capitalism. Capitalism is fine when it's not unbridled. So what I say, you get your little theme park. Where they can set up targets, you rent your gun, you buy your ammo at an upscale price, and, you know, you blow up all the stuff you want, and then you can go home, and the kids are safe, and everybody's safe. Then you can hire little migrant workers, low-to-the-ground people to pick up the dead ammo and the casings, and you can repack them, whatever it is that they call it. You know how the guys, the tinkerers do that. They take the shells and...
Oh, reloaders?
Reloaders, right. See? I mean, sometimes you have to make lemonade out of lemon. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is just, we're in a bad place. We're in such a bad place. But we have to make this better, and we can make this better. We can do this. We can really do this. Right? We can do this.
I think it's conceivable, but it requires an act of national will that overcomes and overpowers the will of the Congress to be owned by the terrorist NRA.
I think it requires Carol Baker to go to somebody's head with a tomahawk and say, look, no, I didn't.
Well, catch her tomorrow. She said it was 103 in Kansas City today, and tomorrow is supposed to be the hot day. So...
Oh God! That provides.
But let me point something out to you real quick, Todd. And by the way, thank you to Steve and Karen. Steve, a member of the Trinity of Steve. Steve and Karen down in Georgistan. Matt's challenge has now been met. $13 of the way, so there's 89 bucks to go. 89 bucks to go in Matt's challenge.
Beautiful.
And maybe we can make it. Hopefully we can make it in the next 32 minutes or so. So one of the people who was shot and survived at Pulse is a young woman by the name of Patience Carter. And first of all, you understand that the same people who holler false flag and say that none of this is real. They also say, and their leader is Alex Jones, and he says, this is just a reason to come and take our guns. because they want to take our...
She was a Fox intern, wasn't she?
Right. She was a Fox intern. And as soon as it became known that she was an intern at Fox, the false flaggers started torturing her.
Ugh. What assholes?
One commenter to a video said, "There she is on Fox fucking news. On Fox fuck news. There she is. Once again, the fucking bullshit they're shoving down people's throats. We need to arrest all these people. This has gone way too far. They've pulled this out too many times. There has to be change. There's no way they can use this event. This is faked. This is staged. They're using actors. There's no doubt about it. This is 100% bullshit." And so they have labeled Patience Carter a crisis actor.
Okay, Bob, I'm going to make an admission right here, right now. I listen to Jeff Wrench, all right?
Yeah?
Yeah, he hosts David Duke and a whole... in other words, I feel like I can't be informed unless I listen to what everybody's doing, what everybody's talking about. Therefore, I feel like I can make better judgments, better decisions, things like that. Now, I listened to Jeff Wrench when he himself supported Donald Trump and then he lied about it. Yes, he did. I was listening the very afternoon. He told everybody, "Oh, I'm voting for Donald Trump. You have to." And, you know, you look at his website and he's just about, I mean, he's a Nazi. But he has interesting guests on. It's not everything about white supremacy. You know, he did talk about whistleblowers and things like that. But he covered that. He had a couple guests who covered that. And that's the beauty of America. See, this is what these assholes don't understand, or they don't want to understand. Our Constitution, the one that they say they love that they can't read because they're fucking stupid, gives us the ability to make this country better, not worse. This is why I say we have to be positive, because if we get together, we can do this. You know, this constitutional convention bullshit is a terrible thing. That's an awful idea. That's just ridiculous. And that's a whole other show.
That's a disaster waiting to happen.
That's scary. Yeah, if you really look at the intricacies of that. That's just dynamite. Don't play with it. No. Leave it in the box and bury it. No. Yeah. We build on what we have. That's what we have to do. You know, we have to make this country better, and we can. But we cannot do this until America decides to look in the mirror and say, that black guy just opened up the wound that was already there. It's like when you get an infection. I mean, I used to work way through college a lot of times in kitchens to have some money in my pocket. And, you know, you often get a cut, and it will heal over, but it will be infected underneath, and it'll be all puffy and pussy. You still got to go to work. And then you have to lance it to get it to heal properly. So that's where America is. We have to lance this wound. And we have a lot of wounds that need to be lanced.
Interestingly enough, Todd, I just had a note from Ray down in Florida. And Ray's note has the subject line, "Where are the white women at?" And he says, "The only reason gun laws haven't changed is because almost all mass shooters are white. Were they black, things would change tomorrow."
Ask Ronald Reagan. Remember, they had open carry in California until the Black Panthers figured out that, well, shit, you know, I'm educated. They got some law books. They said, "Hey, we can demonstrate our power. We can have long guns and out in the open that can't be loaded." You know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure. Clarence mentioned that earlier.
Okay. I had to step out for a while. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, right. So, you know, so once again.
But I don't know that I agree with Ray's thesis here. Because Omar Mateen wasn't exactly what Emery and Marvelline consider white folks. And he,
Omar Mateen, no, Omar Mateen he was immersed in the white culture. Let me tell you, Queens, no. There's a little pocket of Queens. Jamaica Queens is black. Outside of that, 704 Houses Street, man. There's a reason that they put Archie Bunker in 704 Houses Street. The poor cops live in Queens. The more wealthy cops, as they get more money, they move out to Staten Island. The cops and the firemen. Like in Philly, they used to move to Northeast Philadelphia, right? Until all the brown people started moving up there. Then they moved out to Bucks County and Jersey and everywhere else, you know, until they did the residency rule. So I'm sorry, but I had to put that little pocket of history in there.
And by the way, your 704 Hauser Street was neither lost on me nor lost on Jack in Shreveport, who got a giggle out of it.
Well, that show is seminal. That show never gets old. That's some shit. That was just pure genius. I mean, I like Sanford and Son. That everybody knows that guy, and everybody knows Archie Bunker. You know, that's who the fuck Donald Trump is. It's like, he's funny in the bar at happy hour, but president? I think not.
Yeah. But see, Omar Mateen, instead of saying, Ray's theory, and he just followed up and said, which is why he was labeled a terrorist, but still... Ray's theory is that, you know, if mass murders were committed by black folks, we'd do something about assault weapons. But the thing is, here's a brown guy, we label him a terrorist, and there's the NRA hollering, but we can't touch the precious, holy, sacred assault weapons. See what I mean?
Okay. I have, right. All right, the Maryland guy. The older dude and his young compatriot in suburban D.C., the sniper, they immediately, when they found out who that was, he was automatically a terrorist. Now, even the president, I'll be honest with you, the president has done more for the gay community than he's done for the black community. He has not done shit specifically for black people that I can remember, except for the black farmers. He tried to get that lawsuit kind of pushed forward. Because he's scared of his shadow when it comes to talking about black folks. But I think that he's coming out of his shell somewhat. But why is it that Dylann Roof wasn't... I mean, what the fuck? How can that not be terrorism?
Well, I got another example for you. Do you remember last November there was some protest relating to Black Lives Matter? At the University of Missouri in Columbia, University of Missouri in Columbia, Missouri?
Yes.
Do you happen to remember that a white guy by the name of Hunter Park, age 20, put out a statement that said he would shoot every black person I see?
Yeah, and he had it on Facebook. He had it everywhere. I mean, he was out there.
He said, I'm going to stand my ground and shoot every black person I see. Some of you are all right. Don't go to campus tomorrow.
Yep.
So a whole bunch of students there at Missouri.
Mizzou.
Yep. Didn't go to class on November 11th. Several businesses in downtown Columbia even shut down for the day. Well, he was charged. Hunter Park was. And he has now been convicted.
Charged? What was the charge? Conviction?
Well, making terroristic threats.
Okay.
And he's now been convicted and sentenced.
Well, that's good.
He was given a three-year suspended sentence and 5 years of probation.
First offense, no priors.
Tracy Wilson Kleekamp of Race Matters Friends said, pays to be white.
Yeah.
Now, here's the interesting thing. The prosecutor is Brock Jacobs. The judge is Kevin Crane. Judge Kevin Crane imposed the sentence. According to Brock Jacobs, Hunter Park, age 20, has a history of making derogatory comments about black people. He had previously, prior to those statements, called for black people to be shot, hanged, and burned.
What?
He is from an from an affluent suburb of St. Louis. The prosecutor, in arguing at the sentencing, said, "This was philosophical hatred on the part of the defendant."
The prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. Back in 2015, he hung a Nazi flag off the balcony of his dorm.
Okay.
He said his right to free speech was being violated because some other students had hung a Japanese flag on campus.
All right, I have to interject really quickly here. I'm going to. Ever since the Michael Brand incident, I have been reading the St. Louis Times-Dispatch on a regular basis. Number one, it's a really good paper. The website loads fast, and they have some interesting articles. But there's a whole lot of just discord. That area is just fucked up. I mean, it's just crime, and it's just the racial discord, the crime. It's a cauldron of mess. All right. I mean, if you read it long enough, you can tell it's a lot of reasons. Just like the cop that shot Michael Brown, he was in this place called Jennings next door to Ferguson, right? He got drummed out of here because of the same shit. Because, I mean, you look at him, I don't want to say that, but you look at his record. He wasn't too keen on black folks, okay? He didn't like black people at all, period. He was an ass. So one ass meets another ass, but the one ass has a license to kill and the other ass doesn't. So that's what that came down to, in my opinion. But yeah, and matter of fact, in Jennings, they had so many lawsuits over racially charged police doing terrible things that they had to disband their police force and just let the county take over because they couldn't afford to pay the lawsuits anymore. So that's a little tidbit of information. But they have a good website. Yeah. So, you know, I'm not surprised. I don't know what the hell. But you know what's interesting? Now, wait a minute. That's St. Louis. That's right. Plessy Ferguson.
Yep.
What the fuck? We got to do better, man. We got to do better.
Well, and you know what? You provided a little bit of inspiration to our buddy Steve in New York under the idea of that we can make a difference. Steve in New York sent me an email. It said, "What do you think?" He said, "The AIDS quilt raised awareness about AIDS and, I think, helped people see AIDS as a human rather than LGBT disease. What do you think of the idea? A gun death quilt."
Well, you know what? That quilt would stretch from coast to coast, from LA to New York. You know, I participated in Hands Across America. Maybe we have to use that same type of framework. I remember that.
Or maybe there's a state-by-state NRA death quilt. And then there would be an event where every state would bring their NRA death quilt and they'd lay it out. Right. You know, maybe it would take up the infield of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
See, I forgot. You're already immersed in the politics. You understand the nuts and bolts. That's the way to do it. You got to start local. That's right, Bob.
Maybe it would be so goddamn big, Todd. It would be visible from space. Maybe somebody on the International Space Station could take a picture of it.
I want to do a plug for you, Bob.
I will not stop you.
No, I'm serious. Because I've been told I have a voice for radio. I'm gonna put my radio voice on. I want to do, have the snail mail, have the email. You know, nothing stupid, no cursing, just very serious. You know, just like people pay people to do a professional voiceover. I'm going to work on that, and I'll send you a demo. I'll wait for you to approve it.
Well, cool. Maybe we'll run it on the rerun stream in between episodes.
It sounds good, and I hope you feel better.
I'm trying. I've been having a hell of a time of it, though.
I could tell because I was listening to the first few minutes. I had to step out, and I was like, I think Bob's gut is messing with him.
Yeah, it has been. It has been for about 2 months now.
Oh, so it never really didn't really rebound. Okay.
Nah, I finally got a doctor's appointment at like 8:30 Thursday morning.
Well, I wish you the best with that. And I'm on my way to cross country to go to Tracy's. I have a cooler soaking with hickory chunks, and I'm going to make her smoke.
Oh, she'll be thrilled. And you know what? I confess, I mean, there's no way I can buy it, but I gazed longingly at that smoker I've been eyeballing for a while earlier today. How did you know?
Because it's that time of year, Bob. You know, man, we're not that different. It's that time of year, man.
I don't think we're much different at all. But it is. It's that time of year. The local Wiggling Pig had a sale on ribs.
Mm. They special. You know, there's a reason. I figured it out. There's a reason they're called them. You know, I'm not going to be at a Wiggling Pig. I'm not going to say the real name. It's ridiculous. But they do. They have these country. Here they do. They have these, what they call country style ribs, right?
That's the very ones.
In terms of the meat. Right. See, don't say. The meat to the bone ratio is perfect. It's perfect. It's very good because you know some of these ribs you get and it's like
well yeah because see baby back ribs are the biggest ripoff in the world because it's the same plate of ribs that they lop off a bunch of the meat from just to make them straight.
You're hip to the program, as they say. You're hip to the program. You know, getting old is a bitch, isn't it?
It had, you know, the growth of knowledge and wisdom part is really kind of cool. The falling apart physically part sucks.
Well, I'm glad I'm not the only one who was like, wait a minute, these country style. Why are people buying? I mean, did it taste okay when you're out and everything?
Oh no, see, I've got a plan. Agnes and I, we were talking about it. If I keep talking about it and not doing it because it just takes so damn much time. If I ever get the crowdfunding campaign going to in order for us to get off the grid, one of the premiums is going to be a pint of hot barbecue slaw and a pint of my own homemade barbecue sauce.
Mm.
And that'll be special.
It sounds like it. Because I know you said you had the recipe about the slaw from Alabama, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, I do.
Well, I hope you have time to get somebody in. I really didn't mean to take up this much time, but...
Oh, no. If I was in a hurry, I would have... Well, I'll never run you off, Todd. But you were just bringing way too much to the table. And well, and by the way, had an observation from Jim a little bit ago. You know, when we were talking about America having the Bruga Brugas over ISIS, ISIL, whatever. Mm-hmm. Jim said, "Just say it. ISIL wants to turn this country into a circular firing squad with the help of the NRA and its supplicants. A brilliant strategy, internal mistrust, and pure madness. And that's exactly what it is." And see, do you remember? You remember way back, you know, give Bill Clinton his due. Remember way back when they tried to set off the truck bomb in the basement of the World Trade Center?
1993, absolutely.
And Bill Clinton didn't start a war with anybody.
No, he went surreptitiously.
And so then they tried it again in 2001 with Dim Leader. And that was like taking falafel from a baby. He did exactly what they predicted he would do. And he started a war that bankrupted our country.
That's what the man said, and that's exactly what's happening. What did he say? Death by a thousand cuts. And that's, we're killing ourselves.
And so this is the same thing. Jim's talking about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a bunch of fucking simpletons who can be conned into forming up a circular firing squad. And I think Jim's completely correct on this point.
Listen, I'm frightened of these stupid people. I mean, I am living where it really is dangerous here in a way because of the educational system. Anytime you have legislated education that says, well, this public schools are just have to be minimally adequate. Who the fuck can write that and find or the keystrokes to do that? That is insane. That's fucking insane. Okay.
I get it. I understand. But Todd, it's been a delightful conversation. I can only imagine what, and you know, one of these days when there's millions of members of the Horn Family Community Congregation and we have the big horn in, you, me, and Tracy will be in charge of the barbecue.
You know what's up. I'll
There'll be hickory for the pork and apple. And we'll have alder for the salmon. We'll have the hot slaw, the barbecue sauce.
See, that's positivity. Take care, Bob and Eisenhower. Send it to Eisenhower Avenue.
Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318.
Eisenhower Drive.
Yeah. Thanks, Todd. You have a great evening.
All right, take care.
Bye now. I do. I love what Todd brings to the table in these conversations. And that's the heart and soul of Conversation Radio. So we got 9 minutes to go and $89 to raise to meet Matt's challenge, Matt in San Francisco's challenge. Matt would like it very much if his challenge was not ignored. Especially the way he formatted it. $1 in memory of each person who has been erased by the NRA and the right wing, whose gayness has been erased. Because that's what happened. And if that happens, we'll clear the fundraising hurdle for the evening, which would be very, very cool. Oh, I began the program talking about 69-year-old Mr. Spare Ribs, or whatever his name was, who tried to prove his love and devotion for a woman by shooting up her empty condo there in the Villages, Florida. Well, let's finish up in Florida, too. Greg Evers serves in the Florida State Senate. He is hoping to become a member of Congress. He's running for a House seat. And in order to gin up interest and gin up likes and shares of his Facebook page, he offered to give away, God Almighty, who's surprised, an AR-15. Thanks, Craig. You know, to just somebody. A lucky contestant who liked and shared his candidate Facebook page. One individual described it as a horrible, insensitive, and tasteless, described Greg Evers as a horrible, insensitive, and tasteless human being. You could get media attention for so many other things. You could actually try and help someone. Instead, you isolate so many and try to drive this country apart. Shame on you. I'll be donating to your opponents this election, and I'm not even in your district. nice. Greg Evers was one of the Thoughts and Prayers Brigade in the wake of the shooting in Orlando, the mass murder. And guess what? Facebook has removed his gun giveaway. Facebook said, "We removed the share you reported for promoting graphic violence." The Evers campaign responded by saying, "Contest update! We're still up and running on Facebook, but late last night, Facebook removed one of the two posts related to the Homeland Defender giveaway after a California-based liberal activist reported the post for promoting graphic violence. Facebook couldn't be more wrong about the nature of the post, but the good news is that we anticipated this and all contest entries from liking and sharing that post have been saved." So they're going to give away an AR-15 yet to some random individual who might or might not be able to pass a background check. But because it's a gift and because it's being done outside the parameters of an actual goddamn gun store, there doesn't have to be a background check anyway. Screw all you lily-livered, sissy, pansy liberals who don't want people to be chopped into chutney with AR-15s. Off. Because freedom. Mm-hmm. By the way, Steve's idea of the NRA death quilt. Clarence says, "That's an excellent idea. Here's an idea to run with the quilt. Take all the crime scene photos of mass shootings and put them on display." James, meanwhile, says, the quilt could also be done as a virtual overlay and could be placed as such over unfriendly territory. Yeah. Interesting. So there we are. We are at the close of this Titanic Tuesday. Me, I'm looking forward to prayer meeting Wednesday. And the program, and that program is already writing itself. Yes, indeed. I hope you'll join in. Thanks to all of you who keep the program going. Thanks to our subscribers. Thank you, Joan, who put us over the top. This evening, or this morning, Joan in Talibandiana, who put us over the top with Chris's challenge. Subscriptions really do matter. Thank you to everyone who has contributed this evening. Thank you to Steve and Karen in Georgistan. Thank you, Rusty. And thank you. Thank you very kindly, Matt, for making that challenge. Hopefully more will follow your lead. Thank you to all of you who spend your precious finite time. You know, the two things you can never buy are time and love. And it is deeply inspiring that you spend your time, share your time, engaging in this conversational community. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Lottie and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Get well soon, Ann. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.